Matthew chapter 3 records for us in verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist. Now we have already considered John, his name. We have considered his birth. It was a miraculous birth where he was saved in his mother's womb. There was the fruit of conversion before he was even born, because he jumped when he heard the voice of the Lord's mother, Mary, when he was still in Elizabeth, his mother. So even before he was born, there was a soul that was converted. And that was relevant that week at the time of the abortion protest. But we've moved on since then. We looked also at John's humility. Remember how he said, he, referring to God, he must increase, but I must decrease. And the point there John was making is simply this, that his ministry was to exalt the Savior, like the best man on the wedding day. He was to promote the groom, not himself. And let me tell you, John did an exceptional job. The Lord himself said there's no prophet like John. Did an exceptional job of exalting the Savior. This morning, I want to come to John's message, because that is of the utmost importance when we study any Bible character, particularly one who is a preacher. Now, I want to ask you a simple question here this morning. We all know John as being called John the Baptist. But I want to ask you a question. Why was he baptizing? Have you ever thought about that? You see, baptism wasn't commanded by the Lord till much later. The New Testament church hasn't begun yet, because Christ would die, rise again, reveal himself, and that is when baptism was commanded. So, what was John doing? Not only what was he doing when he was putting people under the water and bringing them up out again, how did he know to do it? Who instructed John on baptism? Have you ever thought about that? You see, we'll not turn to it, but it's in Matthew 26. That's when the Lord begins to set out the ordinances for the church. The ordinance of the Lord's table and the ordinance of baptism. They're orders. The Lord has said, this do in remembrance of me. He said to his disciples, go and baptize the people. Those are orders, ordinances, all right? So, baptism wasn't ordered until Matthew 28, near the end of this book. Well, keep your finger in Matthew, we'll be straight back, but go with me to John's Gospel, please. John chapter 1. And there's a wee verse here that is very easily missed, but very helpful. This portion speaks about John. In fact, all four Gospels begin their Gospel by talking about John. So he's a very, very important individual in the great plan of redemption. So, John 1. Let's read verse 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Verse 33. And I knew him not, he said, but he that sent me to baptize with water. Do you see that? Somebody sent John to baptize with water. Who was that? Well, it was God, because that's the context of the verse. Read all of verse 33 then. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same who sent me to baptize, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And what John is talking about here is an occasion, he's testifying of an occasion when God spoke to him, first of all, sent him to baptize, and also said, there will be a man that you baptize, and the Spirit of God will come upon him, that is the Messiah. Okay, so that was God speaking to John. So, let's go back to or portion. Well, actually, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke before we go back to Matthew. Turn to Luke for a moment here, Luke chapter 3. So, John was sent of God to baptize people with water. He was instructed, therefore, on how to do it and on what to do. But look at how John's baptism is described. Nobody else's baptism is described like this, just John's. In fact, John's baptism is described as being different from others. So, Luke chapter 3. Again, this speaks of John. Let's go to verse 2. We have a list of names here. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests. The word of God came on to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came on to all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So John chapter 3 and verse 2 says that the word of God came on to John. That's the exact same thing that we read in the last portion. God spoke to John. All right, and here we're told in Luke's gospel as well. The word of God came on to John, and as a result of God speaking to John, verse 3, he came into all the country about Jordan. He wasn't in Egypt. He wasn't way up north amongst the Gentiles. He's with the people, the Jews. That's important to remember here. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance. It was the baptism of repentance. So what is this that John was doing? You see, he was called the Baptist because he was calling people to repent of their sin and to do so by being baptized. All right? He is calling the people of his day to be followers of a group of people who put their faith not in their ethnic identity, but he was calling on people to make a personal and individual repentance, confession of their sins. And in confessing their sins, they would not hide behind a bush, but they would openly go into the waters of baptism, declaring that I am showing you, I'm showing to everybody, that I am not ashamed, but I am part of this body of people who are baptized, and I have repented of my sins. What you have is John calling the people to an inward repentance and then an outward declaration, an outward confession by baptism that they have repented of their sins. And of course, that is the message of the gospel. But what I want you to see as well, which is important here, as I've emphasized, John was baptizing Israelites, Jews. That's important. Because particularly if you're a Jewish man, what did every Jewish boy receive when they were born? 8 days after they were born, they were circumcised. So John is telling circumcised men, you have to be baptized. So don't mistake this as some kind of carrying on from circumcision. No, John's saying, your circumcision, listen, you need to be baptized. Don't come to me and say you're circumcised. I'm telling you now, because God has sent me to see you baptized and to see you personally repent of your sin. Make a personal commitment. He is calling these people, okay, you're Jews. I'm a Jew. I was born in Israel. Nevertheless, we are called to make a personal commitment that we are followers of God. We are waiting for the Messiah to come, and we are looking for him to take away our sins, and we're turning from sin. And John said, be baptized to demonstrate and identify with this group. He is calling them to no longer depend upon their Israelite identity. Being a Jew isn't enough. Being circumcised isn't enough. Circumcision never was a guarantee of getting into heaven.
It never was meant to be a sign that you're saved, because many who were circumcised ended up in God's hell. All right. But they were misunderstanding this. They thought, you know, if I'm a Jew, I'm okay. That's not true. You know this full well. There'll be people who are baptized or christened as children, and they'll say, right, I'm going to heaven now. Nobody says, well, people do say that, but the Word of God nowhere says that. That's not how you're saved. There must be a personal commitment to the Lord and a turning from sin. That's what John was preaching. So we read that in Matthew. He was a preacher, preaching in the wilderness, and people were coming and being baptized by him. So here's the problem. Let's get back then to Matthew 3, okay? Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, verse 1, in those days, so it was a specific time in history. This is no fairy tale story, but historical fact. In those days, John the Baptist, preaching, so he was a preacher. He was a preacher. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And here's his message, and this is what we're thinking about this morning, the message of John, and saying, repent, repent, repent ye. I don't care what tribe you belong to. I don't care what color your skin is. John says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What he means, it's here. It's here. The day of God's power is here. Christ has arrived. All right? Verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. He was prophesied. And you know that in the book of Isaiah, we read, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So here you have John, and he's preparing people to receive the Lord. He is, it appears, were great numbers who were coming to John, and he was preparing them. He's telling them, listen, your Jewish identity is not enough. For a long time, these people have got into this way of thinking, I'm a Jew, I'm part of the promised, privileged people, and we have got a direct access to heaven and home. And that was never the case. That was never true. It was true. Never was true. But John now comes to prepare the people and calling them to repent with great power and with great effect. Now, look at what happened. And we emphasize this in the reading. In verse 5 of Matthew 3, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. That's what his repentance was. So, it's a little bit different from today, okay? Today, when we baptize someone, it is a declaration that they have already confessed their sin. They're saved. This is different, because these people are waiting for the coming Messiah. And John is preparing them to receive the Messiah. And they are coming to John. They're being baptized, confessing their sin. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm repenting of my sin. I'm confessing my sin. I need a Savior from my sin. It is, he's calling the people to turn away from their faith in Jewishness, confess that they need the Messiah, and they're going and praying, oh, Messiah, come. Because Jesus hadn't come yet. What you have is the ordinance of baptism now beginning to be instituted. But John commenced it, Christ would continue it, and then it was commanded for disciples to go into all the world doing it. But just try and follow me here for now. Right now, look at verse 6, Matthew 3, verse 6. They're being baptized and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. They are repenting their sin. They're going into the waters to say, I'm confessing my sin. I'm a sinner. That's what they're doing. I'm getting into the waters because I'm a sinner and I need the Savior. They are expressing, they need the Savior. They're expressing dependence upon Christ and God's mercy and God's love, not their Jewishness. Now, look at verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And the point John's making here is they weren't repenting of their sin. They weren't. They talked about it. They let on to others that they were repentant. But John said, where's the fruits? Can you see that in verse 8 now? Can you see what's happening? What's John doing? He's preparing the way for the Lord. He's moving the people away from their confidence in Jewishness to understand they are personal sinners. You must be personally saved. You must confess your sin. And here's these Pharisees, and they're talking about how good they are, how great they are, how they have turned away from all sinfulness. And John said, where's the fruit? Because there's plenty of people who will talk religion, move in religious circles, but there's no fruit of repentance. There's no turning away genuinely from their sin. It's only the outward show. Where's the repentance? Where's the brokenness? Remember, the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee confessed to God how great he was. And the publican confessed to God how sinful he was. And that's what God's looking for. Real repentance, a brokenness over sin, hating sin, crying to God, Lord, I need you. That's what they're doing here. That's what John's baptizing them into. Okay, verse 9. John goes on to say in verse 9, and don't you cowboys come and say to me that we have Abraham to our father. That's what he's saying. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Because their response was this, you know, John, I don't need this baptismal repentance. We Jews, we Israelites, we come to see what you're doing, John. But listen, we don't need this. We have Abraham, who is our father. John says that's nonsense. That's nonsense. If you continue the way you are, you're going to hell. That's what John said to them. He did not mince his words here. Look at verse 12. Well, just to maybe keep the context here, go to verse 10 first of all. Let me walk you through these verses. And now also the axe is laid onto the root of the trees. What that means is, you know, there's no more gentle rebukes here. There's no more trimming of the leaves to cultivate. The axe is coming to the root. God has been speaking. God has been preaching through his prophets for years. And there's been trimmings and warnings and cautions. But now the axe is coming. Because it's going to be the Lord is going to open up the floodgates for the Gentiles, and Gentiles will be getting saved all over the world, and the Jews are going to be left behind. That's what happened. Don't miss that. Now, the Lord has a plan for the Jew. That's not the issue right now. But the Lord is going to open the gate for the Gentiles. And this day, many Jews are still left looking for the coming Messiah. Christ has come. That's what verse 10 is talking about. Look at verse 10 then. John says, and now also the axe is laid onto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Listen, you Jewish people. You're going to go to hell. Whether you're Jewish or not. You're going to go to hell. Verse 12, you will burn up with the chaff and you'll be there with unquenchable fire if you do not personally turn from your sin and trust in the Messiah.
There's the Jews speaking this to Jews. As John, the son of Jews, preaches this message. The Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees did not like it, obviously. Obviously. What John was doing was a considerable attack against the Jewish mindset and religiosity here. But he's right. You see, here's the two mentalities. We'll think this through for a minute. The Pharisees and Sadducees are saying, listen, we're going to heaven because we're descendants of Abraham. Full stop. Let me say it again. We're going to heaven because we are the descendants of Abraham. We're okay. We're in favor with God. No problems. John, on the other hand, says, you've all sinned, you've all come short of the glory of God. If you continue in your sinful path, you will pay the penalty for your sin and you will burn up with unquenchable fire. Now, which one makes even more sense? Obviously, John's message. Obviously. They're guilty of sins. Doesn't matter who your father was, you're guilty of sins, you'll pay the price. But these were the two religious groups, if you like. John was attacking the error of that day. It was a baptism of repentance. They were confessing their sins as they were baptized, confessing that Jewishness is not enough to get them right with God. They need to confess their sins and trust in the coming Messiah, who would be a Jew. Now, remember what I said to you a minute ago? These were the people who were already circumcised, and John's telling them to be now baptized. But look at verse 13. Because verse 13 is huge. Then cometh Jesus. And this just changes everything now. This is not, you know, your 5'8 individual. This is not Joe Bloggs down the road. This is not some man guilty of sin. This is God, the Son, incarnate, Jesus of Nazareth, coming to a sinful man called John the Baptist, and he's asking John to baptize him. Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan. He made a considerable journey from Galilee to Jordan, and he came on to John to be baptized of John. Verse 14, but John forbade him. John said, well, hang on a minute here. You should be the one baptizing me. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. John's taken aback. He wasn't expecting to see Mary's son. He wasn't expecting to see the one that he rejoiced in when he was in the womb coming to be baptized by him. All right? Anyway, verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So John baptized him. And look at the reason Christ gave him. Here's why you have to baptize me, John. It is to fulfill all righteousness. It is to fulfill all righteousness. Christ, men and women, didn't come to destroy the law. Christ came, you will be aware, to fulfill the law of God. You see, look at chapter 5 and the verse 17. Christ, still speaking here, says about himself, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come, this is Matthew 5:17. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He came to fulfill the law. So when Christ came to be baptized of John, it affirmed that what John was doing was correct. He was sent of God to do it, and indeed, every believer ought to do it. That's what he's saying here. I must do this to fulfill all righteousness. And so he came to be baptized that he would be the perfect man. Nothing lacking. Nothing wanting. Nothing short of absolute perfection. And so to fulfill all righteousness, he comes to go through the waters of baptism. Furthermore, this baptism became a great declaration that he was the Messiah. Okay, so it affirmed that what John was doing was right. It also accomplished perfect righteousness, but it also demonstrated that he was the Messiah. Because, listen, we all know what happened, what a scene it was. Verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, so after the baptism, he went up straightway out of the water. So he's in the water, he's getting up out of the water, and as he did so, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This was an affirmation, a declaration, that this man, this is the Messiah. The people are going through the waters of confession, the waters of repentance. They're looking for the Messiah, and John has standing before him, and the people that were there, the Messiah. And like all of you, he says to these people, he's being baptized. He's fulfilling righteousness. That's not that Jesus Christ had sins to repent of. Obviously not. Obviously not. But he was associating with man. He was doing what every individual ought to do. Okay. So, the point of John's baptismal ministry was to bring people to repentance and to publicly declare that they were repenting of their sin. It was internal and external. There was an external behavior, an external change. There was an internal turning around. That's what repentance means, to turn around. And I want to ask you this morning, is the repentance real repentance? I'm not asking you, are you churchy? I'm not asking you, are you religious? I'm not asking you, do you have nice and good thoughts about Jesus Christ and about the Bible? I'm not asking you those questions. I'm asking you, do you, when you sin, go to your knees in prayer and say, Lord, I'm filthy. Lord, I'm stinking. I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you to take my sin away. I need you to forgive me. Are you conscious? Do you feel dirty? Do you feel it? And when you feel it, do you go to the Lord and confess it? And does the Lord wash you? That's what I'm asking you. Are you repenting? That's what John was preaching. The baptism of repentance. He's preparing the way for the Savior. When the Savior would come, then they would follow him. Is there the evidence of genuine repentance in your heart? Ask yourself that question. Answer it seriously. Because as John said to these Pharisees, you're religious, you act good, the people think you're good, but you're going to be ending up with the chaff which will burn with unquenchable fire. And that phrase, we've preached that many, many times, but even to stand here and mention it now, listen, it makes your stomach turn. Unquenchable fire, he tells them. John is not behind the bush. He gives them the truth. Unquenchable fire. No hope. No ease. Just never. Why in the world would you not repent of your sin and get saved? Why would you not call upon God? Why would you not seek him and enter into eternal salvation to be saved from unquenchable fire? Why would you not? It's here for you today. That's why Christ came. D.L. Moody was preaching, and there was a testimony time in his service. And there was a young man in that meeting, and he was struck by a phrase that someone said. Someone got up in that testimony meeting, and they were very honest. They were very honest. They said, I am not quite sure. I don't understand everything. But I'm going to trust. And I'm just going to obey.
And that is, men and women, how we must be. We can't endeavor to understand everything. But we trust what God has said, and we simply obey. And when we obey, the Lord will continue to instruct. Listen, if someone tells you to do something and you don't do it, they might not tell you anything else until you do what you've already been told to do. And that's what this man, this individual was saying. I'm going to trust God. And I don't understand it, but I'm going to obey it. Simple as that. I want to ask you today, are you saved? Are you baptized? Have you that inward work of the Holy Ghost? Are you confessing your sin and depending upon Christ? Have you declared that? That's the question. Let's sing that hymn. Because when the young man heard that word of testimony, that I'm not quite sure, but I'm just going to trust and I'm going to obey. That's the inspiration for closing hymn here today. 467. So John the Baptist commenced baptism. Christ, and I forgot to take you to the verse actually. John 4, and I think it's the verse 7. We read there, because, you know, just I don't want to take my second one here, but just let me explain this one thing. John was called John the Baptist. He was famous for doing baptisms. But there was someone who baptized far more than John, and that was Jesus Christ. Because John 4, I think it's verse 7, says that when the Pharisees heard that Jesus baptized more disciples than John did, well, they were enraged at this. All right. So John commenced it, Christ continued it, and then Christ commanded the New Testament church. That's the order there. So our closing hymn here is 467. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do not my, but his good will, we can expect him to abide with us still. And in fact, with all who trust and obey. So the life of trusting and obeying is how we have the abiding presence of the Lord. We don't grieve him. So we enjoy the Lord walking with us.